Are you all back? Are you sure? I think Nathan sent you off somewhere. I went to Wales. You know, I tell people this, the spirit realm is so easy. There's nothing complicated or difficult about the spirit realm at all. It's only a question of putting your antenna up. You can all do this, come on. That's all it is. Religious spirits, haven't you noticed? Religious spirits always try and make things difficult. There was a test, or you got to qualify or something. And Jesus already passed the test. Guess what? There's not another one. There's not another one. And so, you know, when Jesus died and rose again, he didn't say, well, I rose again. You know, one day you're going to be with me forever and eternity. It's going to be awesome. Meantime, do the best you can. Struggle away till I come and get you. He left you an inheritance. When he rose again, he left you an inheritance, which is all of the spirit realm that he lived in. So there's nothing you can do to qualify. There's nothing you can do to unqualify. Because you can't unqualify from something you never qualified for. Is that true? You can't unqualify from something you never qualified for. But religious spirits will do that to you. You know, I mean, we're not supposed to live in a realm where there's condemnation. Romans 8 says there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Why is that? Well, we're not supposed to live there. Because the anointing puts us in a God-conscious realm. So we're not supposed to. If you live in a sin-conscious realm, I guarantee you one thing, you'll feel condemnation every day of your life. But you see, we live in a God-conscious realm because you're born again. That's Abba, Daddy. He crucified the old man. So by faith, you walk in the new man, right? Who's already created in righteousness and holiness. So that this is the thing, too, about the boxes. You see, the anointing puts you in a God-conscious realm, sets you free from sin consciousness, sets you free from self-consciousness. Because you don't be God-conscious and self-conscious at the same time. Nathan was talking about the wine. It starts with the wine. You know why? Because God wants your head out the way. That's the best way to do it. But I'm sure some of you know, instead of in the meeting now, you'd be off down the pub and, you know, probably have one too many. Can you remember what happened to people when they had a few too many? They got very free, didn't they? They got very free from self-consciousness. They didn't care. They got kind of loud and generous. Drunk people are very generous. Have you noticed that? I'll buy everyone a drink. So, if you can do this, that's what you have to do. Because Jesus did everything else. Now, I want to explain something to you to help some people understand about the spirit realm. See, we don't jump in and out of the spirit realm like a jack-in-the-box. There's been a lot of move of the spirit where people got touched. Is that right? They got a touch from God. That's wonderful. You know, I'm all for getting a touch from God, but it's not really the best. That's not what God has for us, really. He wants us to learn to live in the glory. Then you become the source of the touch from God. Is that right? So let me explain it like this, so easy. And I can't remember your name, I'm sorry. Pauline. Here is Pauline. Now, Pauline's your spirit man, right? He lives in the internal realm. Is that right? That's where he lives. And that's the real you, isn't it? Because he's eternal. The rest is pretty, but it's just temporary. It's just temporary. The real Pauline lives in the spirit realm. Her spirit man lives, that's where he lives. He doesn't jump in and out, you know. That's where he lives. So all you're doing really is tuning into your spirit man and agreeing with him. So your spirit man, Pauline, this afternoon, because of where he lives, guess what? Your spirit man can prophesy all the time. He does. He prophesies all the time. There are prophecies going through your spirit man continually, night and day, because that's where he lives. So when you do this, that means any one of you in here today can actually go around the whole room and prophesy over everyone. All you're doing is this. Do you understand? Your spirit man has visions continually, night and day. They never cease because that's where he lives. All you have to do is this. That's why if the spirit begins to move, you can immediately do this. And you'll usually go somewhere or get drunk or something will happen because all you're doing is this. Your spirit man has already lives there. So you can go around the whole room, have a vision for everybody. Prophetic vision, because that's where he lives. You're just doing this. It's so easy, isn't it? There isn't a test. There's not a test. You just have to tune in. Your spirit man, because he lives in the spirit realm, guess what? He has visitations all the time. That's where he lives. In the heavenly realms. Which is really your home, isn't it? Because your spirit man lives there. And that's the real you. That's the permanent one. That's the permanent part of you. Eternal part of you. So he lives in there. The chariots of God and all that, the angels, they all live in that spirit realm. And your spirit man, he already lives there. All you're doing is this. That's all. Because that's the real you. You're just identifying with the real you. That's all. Isn't it easy? See, you've got all these great teachings out there about how to do this and that. You forget about all the teachings about how to do this and that. You just have to agree with your spirit man. And start believing. Look, say this after me. I prophesy all the time. See, that's the truth. Because your spirit man, that's what he lives there. He prophesies all the time. All you're doing is this. So I have so many visions. I don't know what to do with them all. Yeah. Now, see, you're not just making you say something. I'm making you agree with your spirit man. That's where he lives. So I talk to the angels all the time. The angels are around all the time, right? They had chariots here this morning. You see, the angels is not for some people and not for other people. It's up to you whether you want to tune in or not. That's all, because that's your inheritance. That's where your spirit man lives, in that realm. You just might as well live there because Jesus paid for you to live there. So you might as well, mightn't you? You might as well. That's where, yeah. Why live in something less? The chariots and all that. It's all in the realm your spirit man already lives in. Woo! What's hard about that? I mean, do this again. And let me ask you a question. What is difficult about that? I mean, why? See, people say, well, that spirit stuff, that's kind of like for people like Kathy Walters and Nathan and, you know, a few people like that. Those kind of spirit people. No, it's your inheritance too. It's all our inheritance. Jesus already left it. He didn't say, well, I'll leave this to you and that to you and you can have a bit of that and you can have a bit of that. No, he left us all that inheritance. Take a deep breath. Say, it's so easy. It is easy. I was going to tell you something else about a meeting I was in because it's kind of a little bit what happened to me this morning. When the Spirit's moving, you have to bear this in mind. There is no time or distance in the spirit realm. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as time or distance, okay, in the spirit realm. So Like, I really believe that some of the laughter in here responded to a church in Wales that I know because I was there in their church. That's where I went. And they were praying. And they were praying about the poverty spirit on Wales. And I got the gold, you see. So we tend to localize things in our mind, localize our own vision, localize. But in the spirit, there's no, you can't localize anything. You can get a word in your spirit. You know what? It could really for you to release over Brazil. I was in Auckland a few years ago. I love this. It just shows you what can happen. Sometimes you don't realize it, but you've got to keep your antenna up. And I was speaking at a conference in Auckland. I never forget the room we were in because I kept having to do this because the room was so wide. It was extraordinarily wide. And right at this end of the room, on the front row, there is Pastor Ian Johnson. You know him, a lot of you. Totally the other side of the room is a lady named Cheryl. I'm just, you know, ministering this seminar. Suddenly Ian fell on the floor. Thought, okay, well, he's gone somewhere probably. Cheryl fell on the floor and started laughing hysterically for about 10 minutes. They were the only two. Everyone else was just listening to me. So anyway, 10 minutes, he picked himself up, put himself back on the chair. She stopped laughing, sat on the chair. So after the meeting, I went and found Ian. And I said, what happened? He said, well, I saw this chariot. He said, so I got in it. And the next minute, I'm standing inside my friend's church in Fiji. He said, and he was preaching, and I saw this big black island spirit come right at him. He said, then I heard this laughter, and it left. So I said, oh, okay. So then I went and found Cheryl, because I still hadn't connected the two myself. So I went and found Cheryl and I said, what happened? So she said, I don't know, I just kept seeing this big black thing and laughing at it. So the next day, that pastor in Fiji called Ian and said, Ian, you were in my church yesterday, weren't you? And Ian said, yeah. He said, we got attacked by this island spirit, it was awful, and we all heard this laughter, and it left. You see, so while we're having our little meeting in Auckland, God took two people out of my meeting, took them to Fiji, got that church delivered from that spirit that was attacking the church. Then they came back. You see, and that's how it is in the spirit realm, because there's no time or distance in the spirit realm. In the, I wish I had my books and CDs, but I don't. You can go on my website. There's a book, one book out there. I think somebody got it there. It's called Bright and Shining Revival. And it's a story of the Hebrides revival. When, you know, they prayed, they got hold of God. When they prayed, God answered. And when God answered, they said, got it! Mine! They didn't say that's interesting. The Scottish have always had a revelation, God is a covenant keeper. So God said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. And they said, got it! Didn't write it down somewhere. But after a few weeks, they said, look, God said, if we humble ourselves and pray, seek, we did that. Turn from our wicked, did that. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. They said, okay, we did that. Now God has to do that because he's a covenant keeper. And they stopped praying because they got it. When you get it, you stop praying for it, don't you? You know, I mean, if you said to me, you know, can I have your scarf? I said, I'll give it to you after the meeting, it's yours. But if you interrupted me every 10 minutes and said, are you sure about the scarf? Say, well, I already told you. You see, anyway, when he told them, I'll heal the land. They said, got it! Because he said it. And they quit praying because they got it. When you got it, you don't keep praying for it. And they started declaring it. God's coming. God's going to heal the land. God's coming. You better be in the meeting. God's coming. It's all in my book there. It's all eyewitness accounts. So they got it when he said it, because he's a covenant keeper. So all the things that he's already given you, you already got them. You don't have to ask, plead and beg and whine. He made all these things in the spirit that Nathan's been talking about. And he already made it available. Sometimes, you know, if you get up and you have a bad day, sometimes you don't feel like it. Because you had a bad day, though, doesn't mean anything changed. The truth is still the truth. But in that Hebrides revival, some of the intercessors often would leave their body for a week. Hello. You know, most move the spirit, people get frozen in the spirit. That's happened to you, I'm sure, a lot of you. When God's really moving, so it happens quite a lot. Some of the intercessors, yeah, in the Hebrides, they left their body for a week. They'd be frozen for a week at a time. And God would take them somewhere. Like one lady accounts in that book, God, she left her body for a week. And God took her and showed her the whole of the war, before the war. Showed her everything that was going to happen. They thought that she wasn't coming back this time, so they covered her with a sheet. Because your body gets into low temperature. They actually covered her with a sheet and thought she wasn't coming back this time. I think God said, you better go back because you won't have anywhere to go to. So, the spirit realm, you see, is a whole realm. It's a whole world. We tend to think of the spirit realm as like tongues, interpretations, healings, you know, a few supernatural things, but it's actually a whole world. That's our home. We chose to live there. Isn't that awesome? So we shouldn't be amazed at anything, but you should be available for anything. You know, so you want to be in a real move of God, guys, you better not be sitting there thinking you're going to get a roast dinner every night, because you won't. You ain't. Better learn to make a sandwich. So if wife goes off somewhere, you know what I mean? Or maybe you might go off somewhere. But that happens in revival. How many have been frozen in the spirit before? Come on, show me. Yeah. Can be quite. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the presence of God comes on you really strong and kind of encases you. In the presence of God, you really can't bat an eyelid, because you're just like you're gone somewhere. So that all comes when God's moving. You just have to keep your antenna up. When you feel the anointing coming on you like that, just wait and see. And see, maybe God's going to take you somewhere. I saw some chariots this morning, but I didn't see people get in them that showed me your antenna wasn't up in that area. Because there is no time or distance in the spirit. You can be sitting right here and God can take you to South Africa, show you something. You see, because we're all in the spirit realm, is that right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Looking at me like I got two heads a bit. Ooh. Nice to you. I'm going to talk about angels, but yes, I want to talk about the spirit realm just a little bit. See, we do have mindsets. Even though we're free, we have these mindsets, we do. Sometimes I have a meeting when everyone goes in a chariot. It's nothing to do with selective chariots, because I've been in a meeting in Sydney when I said we were going to go in chariots, and over 400 people went in a chariot. You see, as soon as you tune in to the spirit realm, we all can move in that spirit. Do you understand? So if there's chariots, everyone can get in the chariots. Say, the chariots are around me all the time. That's true. You see, God loves to show you what he's doing. But I'll tell you this story real quick. I was in Hawaii on holiday. I was on my way to Sydney. And while I was there, Bob Jones called me. And he said to me, I have a word for you. I said, okay, what's that? So he said, God's given you a Rudolph anointing. I said, what? He said, Rudolph. I said, Rudolph? He said, uh-huh. He goes, uh-huh. I said, you mean Rudolph as in reindeer? He said, uh-huh. He said, you know, to lead the way. And he put the phone down. I'm like... But I notice sometimes when I'm speaking, my nose gets red, really hot. It feels bright red. They tell me it doesn't go red, but I know that I'm on the right track. Anyway, I get to Sydney, have this meeting. I've been this place several times before. So in the afternoon, I decide, well, everyone's going in chariots. I'm going to push all the chairs back, make everybody lie on the floor. Everyone's going to go in chariots now because they're all asking me about the chariots. So play some music, just everybody's like going chariots all over the place. This one lady came to me and she said, Kathy, I don't know whether to say this. I said, say it. She said, I went in a chariot. She said, but it was a sled. I said, that's okay. I know people that go in a sled because God makes things personal to you, doesn't he? He makes things personal to you. He took her on a sled. She said, but Kathy, that's not the only thing. She said, it had reindeers. I said, I believe you. Because the angels can actually manifest how they like. I said, God took her in a sled with the reindeers. Now, this was the story, because God is so personal. She said when she was a kid, she was brought up in a very strict religious home. No books, no nothing that wasn't strictly Christian. But sometimes when she came home from school early, she had to wait for her mum at her friend's house, and her friend had books. One of the books she had was about Rudolph. And she said she loved the book because she loved the pictures. You know, with the reindeers and flying through the sky and the stars and all that. She just loved this book, but of course she could never have the book. So when God took her on a chariot ride, he took her in a sled with reindeers. He actually took her to China. But she said that changed her life more than any message she ever heard in 25 years. Because it was so personal, it broke every mindset that she had about God, you know, and what he thought about her. So you see, I'm so open. I'm available. Because you can't tell God what to do or how to do it, can you? He's not asking your permission. He's not asking your approval. He's doing stuff anyway. We can fall in or not. Like Nathan said, you can jump in or not. There's another thing I was going to tell you which I've forgotten, but it'll come back to me. Okay, let's talk about angels. Oh, I'll tell you this. God gave me, when I was with Sid Roth, I used to go in this chariot thing, but he suddenly, when I was with Sid Roth, I'll be quite honest, we did these programs all day with some other big shot speakers, you know, the big power ministries and little me. And they decide they're going to have this prayer meeting. I thought, this is going to be some kind of prayer meeting with all these great big super power people, you see. So we get in this prayer meeting. At the dinner, by the way, we all had dinner. It's about 15 people. I thought, well, Sid's paying, so I'll order a nice steak. Got a nice steak, Nathan. And suddenly anointing came on me and took me away to Florida. God showed me some things, which I didn't really want to see. But anyway, I came back. My steak's like cardboard. And everyone else is eating dessert, you see. And I said to God, now look, God, before this dinner, I was 2 hours in my hotel room by myself. So why didn't we do this then? Some bright guy called out at a meeting a while ago, but your meat is to do the will of him that sent you. I said, no one asked you. I asked you. Be quiet. I'm not asking your opinion. Anyway, so, you know, the things of the Spirit You can't care what people think about you, can you? No, Sue. See, if that old man was crucified, that means your reputation was crucified. Is that right? So what does it matter what people think about you? I mean, who cares really? Not that big a deal anyway. You know, not everybody thinks everyone's looking at them. This man said to me, I was going to raise my hands on Sunday, but everyone was looking at me. I said, no one was looking at you. He said, I think they were. I said, no, they weren't. No one's looking at you. You see, you get the self-consciousness makes you think everybody's noticing. Well, half the time they're not. They could care less what you do. You know, if you stand on your head, people don't really care. It's just here. But that was crucified, wasn't it? That was crucified. Okay. So the angels. Now, I'm going to teach you a little bit about the angels, because the angels is part of the spirit realm, and they actually do minister to you all the time. So you can't disavow or cut out part of the spirit realm because of your concepts or because of past teaching or whatever. But the angels are sent to minister to you, and you should really know who they are, because you know, if you go through the Bible, and I would really advise you to do this, because I'm not going to do it for you today. I would take a couple of hours, get a notebook, get a concordance, and go through all the scriptures about angels for yourself. It's really good. Then you'll see how the angels ministered to people, brought messages, gave direction, prophesied. You'll see that all the way through the Bible, the Old Testament and the New. You'll see that. The angels always were there to minister. The trouble is, like in church sometimes, you get this thing of, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to teach you about angels. It's like, ooh. You know, it's like saying money. So, I mean, in church, you know, you can say, I can say wood, tree, boy, shoe, fine. But if you say money, it's like, sometimes the same things happen about angels. If I say I'm going to teach you about angels, like, we mustn't worship angels. But God's angels don't let you worship them, do they? So it's not an issue, is it? If an angel came in here today and wanted us to worship him, I'd think we know he wasn't from God. Hello. If you had to have a prayer meeting about it, I'm seriously worried about you. The angels, so I'm not going to look up all these scriptures in here. I'll do your own study. It's very interesting. One thing I like to read, though, I always like this story. Is there anyone here that's believing the Lord for a spouse? Okay, a few people. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. You don't have to do trial and error. Because the angels are very involved in your life, totally involved in your life. The function of the angel is to make sure, is to help you accomplish the purposes of God in your life. That's why they're there. But anyway, I want to encourage you with this, those of you that are looking for a spouse. When Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac, the angel was sent to go with him. God sent an angel to go help him. How about that? It's in Genesis 24. So there you are. You can be encouraged. Angels are involved in everything. Okay, now, I'm just going to read you one scripture, because you're going to go and look all the others up, and you'll see exactly what I said. But anyway, the end of Hebrews, when it talks about the angels, you know, because Jesus was higher than the angels, but he did say, the angels are all ministering spirits. Sent to what? Minister. To who? Yes. The heirs of salvation. Who's that? Me. It's okay to say me. They are sent to minister to you. And they do minister to you all the time. They're around you all the time. Especially one. There's one angel who's assigned to you. And guess what? You, Sue, are his assignment. Your angel, you're his assignment, Russ. You are his assignment. He'd never leave you. He's very interested in you accomplishing the purposes of God, because that's where all your provision is. All your provision is in the purposes of God. Your provision is already laid out for you. So your angel, how many of you done this? You woke up one morning and you got this song. Where did that come from? I haven't sung that for 10 years. That's your angel ministering to you. Or you're driving in the car and you suddenly got a scripture. And it kind of goes around and you kind of quote it for an hour. And you kind of, what's all that about? Well, that's your angel ministering to you. And when your angel sings to you or ministers to you, guess what? You have to actually listen up. Because he's not singing to you to entertain you. He's singing to you to minister to you. He's singing to you, you have to listen to the words. And when I was in Houston a bit ago, I was in this church. It was like 100-something degrees. I don't know what that is, centigrade, but it was very hot anyway. It's a wooden church. The air conditioning broke down. I prayed for people to 5 o'clock. I was like a dish rag. When I got back to my hotel, this angel was waiting for me. And he said, Kathy, sit down. So I sat down and he said, his love has no limits. Think about that. And he started to tell me about the love of God, how limitless. His grace has no measure. Listen, think about that. That means that Selah, listen on this. Sang this whole song. And this firelight came on me and this light stayed in the ceiling for about 2 hours. So he ministered to me the words from the song. And it totally refreshed me and brought all that strength back that I just, in that meeting, you know what I mean? It's like it was. So your angels minister to you. Sometimes they minister to you things that you don't know all the words, but you know what? You can remember them and go lick them up. I often do that. A lot of angels sing me those old English hymns. And they sing me all the verses. I have to go home and look it up. Sometimes angels don't sing Christian songs. You know, like the angel came sang to me the song from Aladdin, A Whole New World. He actually sang the whole song, which I didn't know. So the angels aren't religious, and they minister to you. They speak to you. They sing to you. Somebody asked me, well, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? The only way I know how to describe it is when it's the Holy Spirit, it's kind of in you. Kind of comes up in you. When it's the angel, it's right here. How many of you know that happens to you all the time? Doesn't it? You see, you're just recognizing some things that are really going on already. Your angel actually has a way to get your attention that's peculiar to you. You just have to keep your antenna up and figure out what it is. My angel always touches my arm. Like I'll be on the computer or someone's saying something and he go, like, listen. Or say, pay attention, does this. Or if I talk too long, he'll do that. Shh. So if I ever talk to you and I do that, that's why. He's going, shh, hush. So your angel has a way to get your attention. Do this. I have a friend, her angel does this. I see her do that, I know what that is. He's saying, listen. I have another friend, her angel does this. How many of you know already what your angel does? You see, you have to keep your antenna up. Actually, this pastor a while ago, he said to me, after I finished, he said, now I know what that is with my big toe. I said, what do you mean? So he said, well, sometimes in my office, I put my feet on the desk and my big toe goes... So, you just have to keep your antenna up because he has a way to get your attention. What does your angel do, Margaret? A buzz. So I'm open. Got my antenna up. See, he does. You should really know, you know, your angels. You can't have relationship with angels, but you should know who they are. Because they minister to you all the time. They're with you all the time. Your angel can look just like you. Your angel can look just like you. And there was a prophet friend of mine. His name was Jeff. I don't think he came here. He was in Auckland. But when he wasn't ministering, he worked with a work crew, you know, building crew. And he said one night they were in this motel. The other guys were in this room drinking and making a racket. He was trying to pray. So he said, God, can't you make them be quiet? He said about 10 minutes later, it was like really quiet. So he thought they all fell asleep and they drank and fell asleep. So he got up the next morning, nobody would talk to him. They all avoided him. So he said to the boss, what's the matter with everybody? Because, you know, nobody had talked to me. And the crew boss said, well, you scared them. He said, I scared them. I mean, he said, low key. He said, yes, so when you went in their room and told them to be quiet, said they didn't see you come in. So when he prayed, his angel went. And then when I first moved to Macon, I was so excited. I went to this prophet. I went to this meeting. I met a prophet. Jeff, same guy. I got home. I called Bob Jones. I said, guess what? I met a prophet in Macon. I said, I went to this meeting, Bob, and I met this prophet. And Bob said, no, you met his angel. So I said, look, I just talked to him for 20 minutes. He said, no, you talked to his angel. And when I met him again 3 weeks later, he'd never met me. I talked to his angel. Another time when I was like, see, when you pray, sometimes your angel goes. Have you ever anybody say to you, you said this and you said that, and you're like, my pastor friend in Minnesota, he tricked me up to this church. When I got there, it's full of women hating men. They hated women, especially in the pulpit. They're like this. You know, I thought, oh my gosh. The Lord said to me, don't pray for them. I said, I wasn't thinking of praying for them. But I thought, what are we going to do with these people? They hate me. And Iverna Tompkins, you know her? She stood right in front of me and she said, Kathy, don't take any notice. You can do this. I said, sure I can. So I just preached up a storm, you know, and it all broke in the end. But when I got home, Iverna Tompkins emailed me and she said, where have you been? She said, I've been praying for you all the time. And when she prayed, her angel came and stood right in front of me and said, you can do this. So when you pray by the Spirit, sometimes your angel will go. Is that exciting? Yes. A whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. So your angels are very involved in your life. Your house, say my house is open. Don't say that if it's not. But if your house is open, the angels will use your house. They'll use your house sometimes they don't even ask you. Actually, the New Zealand angel that helps me when I'm here, he often visits me in my house. He's the one that actually came and sang the Aladdin song to me. But one night I was in my living room, Sunday night, I was watching a movie. A lot of angels come to my house and people say to me, what were you doing? And I think they want me to say, I was fasting for 2 weeks. You know, I usually say, I was watching a movie. So, but angels sit and watch movies with me. Angels like those old westerns, they do. So, I'm watching this movie. My English friend, Bunty, some of you know her, she's with me. God sent her to help me with my book. So she's ironing. I said to her, what's that? She said, this is ironing. I said, where'd you find that thing? She said, oh, I found it in the cupboard. Anyway, so I'm watching this movie. No, here's something for you to learn here. out of the corner of my eye, I saw a light. I guarantee you, everyone in this room, out of the corner of your eye, you've seen a light. But you know what? You have to look to see what the light is. Because there's a little principle here. If you believe what you begin to see, you'll see more. Isn't that right, Nathan? If you believe what you begin to see, you'll see more. If you begin to believe what you begin to hear, guess what? You will hear more. So when you begin to see something or begin to hear something, you have to tune into it. And then you'll hear more. Got it? Really simple little thing I discovered. So I saw this, like this lady said to me a while ago. She said, "Oh," she was so excited. "I saw an angel in my church Sunday night." I said, "What did he want?" She said, "I don't know." I said, "We should have asked him." She said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, so you saw him, you could have asked him, so you could have pressed in a little further. If you believe what you saw, you can push a little further, can't you?" Anyway, so I turned to see the light, and guess what? I saw one of the biggest angels I ever saw in my life, standing right there in my living room. So I thought, "What?" And he had a little jug of oil, you know, with a long spout. He came and stood behind me, and he poured this oil over me. And it felt like a river. And I fell out of the sofa onto the floor. She says to me, "What are you doing?" I said, "Can't you see that angel?" She said, "No, but I can smell oil." So I scooted over. I said, "Sit there." She sat there, he poured the oil. She fell out of the sofa. There were some people down in our office working on the Bible code. So she went running down and said, "There's an angel up here and he's got some oil." So they came running up, they sat there, poured the oil, fell off the sofa. I can smell oil now. Watch it. Whoa. You smell that? Anyway, the word got around because people were calling my house, saying, "Can we come and sit on the sofa?" She said, "It's not my angel, help yourself." Didn't even know them. They'd sit there. He'd pour it out there, would fall out of the sofa every time because it felt like a river. Now, if you sat there, this end, nothing happened because he never moved. And he stayed there for 3.5 weeks. And he just poured oil on everyone that came there. They fell out the sofa, went on their merry way. 3.5 weeks he left. People said to me, "What was all that about?" I said, "I didn't do it. I didn't ask him to do it. I did observe one thing, though. A lot of people that I knew at that time, the next few weeks, they received a major life direction changing word for their life." So that was the first time I saw the angel of change. And he anointed them for change. Because you know what? If God has a big change for you, you have to be anointed for the change, don't you? Otherwise, it can be very difficult. A big change can be difficult, but if you're anointed, it can be an adventure. Say, "Oh, I'm so available." "Oh, I'm so available." So anyway, but when the angel of change comes, guess what? That's because he's got some changes for you. So the angel will use your house, your car, whatever. Your angel stays with you. He doesn't go running off to other people. And other angels do come and visit. Like a little while ago, this was funny. I was sitting at my computer, sent something behind me. I turned around, there's an angel dressed totally like Braveheart, blue face and everything. But I knew it's the angel, it's over Tim's church in Auckland. I thought, "What's he doing here?" So Tim Stevenson emailed me. And he said, "Guess what I'm going to do on Sunday?" So I said, "You're going to dress up like Braveheart." He said, "How did you know that?" I said, "Because your angel's already here dressed up like Braveheart." And he actually drove with me to Orlando and then left, and I knew he was going to Tim's meeting where they had a freedom meeting. And Tim dressed up like Braveheart. So the angels will do what you do. They're in on the whole thing. We think it's just us. No, the angels are very involved in what you do. Now, there's angels that minister to you. That's your angel who will sing to you, minister to you. Sometimes just tell you stuff. When I was at my friend's house in Columbus, Ohio, she comes down, she's one of these, you know, you never see her without running shoes and health, something, you know. So she says, do you want to come for a run? I said, no. I said, you go for a run, I'll go for a stroll. I strolled around her neighborhood when my angel came, and he told me about everyone in all the houses. There's like six houses there. We wrote it all down. Within a year, that all happened. So since they just taught you, tell you things. Now, and you can ask them, you know, they have a name. They can be very funny. Angels can be very funny. Angels hate religious spirits. I've seen angels break up religious meetings because they hate religious spirits. You know why? Because religious spirits distort the nature of God in the eyes of the people, don't they? God's a good God. He loves you. So I've seen them break up religious meetings. And you know what I like, because I'm English? Angels are very witty, very clever with words, and very witty. I love that, because I'm English, so I like the words. So it can be very funny. I've had angels make faces at me. I've had angels jump on the bed. In fact, the morning after the Jubilee thing, when the boats went down the Thames, when I woke up, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, this angel's running around my room going, don't you know the witch is dead, the witch is dead, don't you know the witch is dead? I'm saying, like, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, you can tell me later. And then, you know, I have a bit of a confession here. But, you know, I have this golden motorcycle that the angel gave me at Sid Roth's meeting. When I was in this, I told you about the prayer meeting. It was terrible. Went to this prayer meeting, I thought, wow, this is going to be. It was the most religious prayer meeting I ever went to in my life. You know, it's one of those prayer meetings where if one person thinks everyone's got to repent. Have you ever been to those? And everybody doesn't want to be not spiritual, so everyone begins to get into it. And it's really heavy, you know. And I'm thinking, so they're wailing and carrying on. I'm thinking, you know what? I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to repent from that. I never did that. So, and I could see Sid Roth rolling his eyes, so I know he's going to leave me here with all these people that are wailing and carrying on, you know. It's true. I was at this other meeting. You know, we get into it, don't we? Like, you want to be agreeable or something. But you can offend the Holy Spirit that way. And I know I was in this other meeting in Florida, and I hate these meetings. There's all these ladies there, and they turn the lights down, which always, I don't like. I always want to see, you know, what's going on. They've got the light, and this lady starts to pray in this, like, she didn't pray, she kind of, like, whined, this long whining prayer about the American Indians, you see. And so, I mean, it's probably like, you probably have meetings like this. You know, how many prayer meetings, I mean, how many times do you have to repent for the same thing, really? You know, this is like the 500th meeting now where we all repented about this. Why, you know, is God deaf? Why are we doing this yet again? Anyway, so she got everyone to go up and repent about the American Indians and all that. So I just sat there. So this lady poked me in the back. She said, you need to go forward. I said, why? She said, because of what you did to the American Indians. I said, I don't know any American Indians. I said, I've never done anything to any American Indians, okay? She said, but your ancestors may have. So I said, well, if those American Indians got themselves in the north of Ireland, that's their problem, because I don't know anything about it. I just had enough, you know, sometimes just enough. So anyway, it was one of these meetings where we all got to repent. And I thought, just a minute, I never did this. I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to repent something I never did. So they're all wailing on the floor now, you know. And I'm sitting there like this. I said to God, you owe me a chariot ride. Because I already missed my stake in this meeting. You see, it was just true. I missed my stake and everything. Now I'm in this prayer meeting. It's like giving me a headache. I said, you owe me a chariot ride. So he sends me this golden motorcycle. He's like, it's got a golden eagle engraved on the side, and he said, hop on. And we went on this ride. I mean, it was all loopity, it was up and down, and we skimmed all across these islands. And the Lord gave me a word, it was on the Elijah list, I'll kiss the islands. So from then on, I had my motorbike, you see. I'm not a motorbike person, but this is all gold, and it's got an eagle, and it goes all over the place, you know, it's wonderful. And so I'm in this other meeting in Georgia, in this church. Been there a few days, everybody's kind of with me now, you know, it takes a few meetings sometimes, so we're going to have a chariot ride meeting. Everyone's laying on the floor, and I said, all right, you can all go on chariot rides. And I just sat down, well, people go on these different chariot rides everywhere. See, well, when it was kind of over, this guy came up to me and he said, Kathy, he said, guess what happened to me? I said, what? He said, I went on a motorcycle. I said, really? I have a motorcycle. He said, it was golden. I said, was it really? He said, it had an eagle on the side. And I thought, that's my motorcycle. Seriously. And I was like, I said, well, that's good. You say, this lady came, she said, you'll never guess what happened to me. I said, what? She said, I went on a motorcycle. I said, was it golden? She said, yes. I said, it had an eagle, didn't it? She said, yes. You see, I said, yeah, no. I'm saying, I got a bit, you know, this is mine. It's my motorcycle. So the third lady came up and said, yes. I said, you went on a motorcycle and had a golden eagle and great ones. She said, yes, I did. So excuse me. Anyway, this is the truth. I'm just having confession time. So I went and sat down on the steps and sulked. I sulked for about 20 minutes. Because my angel is giving my motorbike to all these people to ride. You know, and I think, they should get their own. Why can't they get their own? Isn't it bad? It's very funny, but that was true. That's true. I guess that's... I know. Anyway, back to the angels. So, I'm just confessing that, you know. I did feel that way. I was quite upset. You know, I have this anointing for fur coats. But I just sent you. Did you give those coats away, those mink coats, Margaret? I do have an anointing for fur coats. People give me fur coats all the time. I just send them on. But I've got this little red mink coat that God gave me, a little mink jacket, red sheared mink. It's lovely. So if I bring that to the meeting, I hide it under the book table. So God doesn't see it. It's bad, isn't it? But I have a brand new full-length blue fox, $8,000 coat someone bought me, which I'd always wanted, but I live in Georgia, it's 100 degrees. But I'd go past and I'd pet it, you know. I didn't take it anywhere, it was too heavy to carry. I was up in New England and I was with my friend. It's getting cold up there. It's October. She's got a pretty fur coat, but it wasn't real fur. I like real fur, you know. It's just a pretty coat, Shirley. She says, one day, God's going to give me a full-length blue fox coat. I said, really? So when I got home, I went in the office, you know. I brushed it aside. I went in the office and the Lord said to me, you need a box. I said, why? It's for the coat. So I stuck it in this box and shipped it off to her. But I didn't hear anything. Usually if you send people something like that, they say thank you or something, you know. Didn't hear anything. So I emailed her. I said, you get a box for me? She said, yeah, it's under my desk. I said, why is it under the desk? So I figured it was like books or something. I said, well, if I were you, I'd open the box. Anyway, is it lovely to pass things on? We're just supposed to pass things around, aren't we? Rings, money, clothes, sheep. Oh, he's asleep. I'm talking about the sheep. Okay. So the angels. Now, there's another kind of angels. It's not, they don't operate the same as the angels that minister to you. They sing to you, they tell you stuff, and they can be very funny. They're with you all the time, all right? Now, there's other angels that are different angels, and these angels are sent to your ministry. They're sent to be part of your ministry. Everyone in this room has some kind of ministry, all right? We're all able ministers. Is that right? Then you come. We all have some people full-time, some not. But we all have some kind of ministry. And you know what? If you're faithful in the ministry, your ministry will grow and develop. And as your ministry grows and develops, God assigns more angels to your ministry. You see? So, but you have to do this because you really should know who they are. Because they minister with you. You should be able to see what they're doing because they're part of your ministry. Do this. Come and say, I can do this. It's not hard. It's nothing hard. You just have to put your antenna up and believe because you have to discern the angels that are in your ministry. You know who they are. God will tell you their names, or they will even. But I can't tell you who your angels are. That's something you have to discern for yourself. I mean, I see other people's angels. Sometimes at a meeting, conference, I see other angels come in the back of the meeting, especially if there's good revelation being preached. I've actually gone back from the hotel to my, from the conference to my hotel and found angels sitting on my bed reading books I brought home from the conference. Because angels love revelation. Angels love revelation. You know, the word says the angels desire to look into the things concerning the kingdom of God. So they love revelation. Angels don't have the same spirit in them that you have. You have the spirit of a son. You see, they're a servant. You have the same spirit that's in your dad. So they love revelation. And they minister in your ministry, they're part of your ministry, and you, like I said, you know who they are. Probably the easiest thing to do, because we don't want to be here all day. I tell you about the angels that are in my ministry. You have to figure out the angels that are in your ministry. But I guarantee you there are angels assigned to your ministry. Over every church and ministry, there is an angel over that ministry, whether it's a small ministry or a large ministry, a small church or a big church. If it's God-ordained, there's an angel appointed to it, okay? One interesting thing I saw one time when I was at End Time Handmaidens Conference, you know, from Gwen Shaw. There was 3,000 people there, and I looked up in the balcony, and I saw an angel standing there like this, and he was just, like, watching over the meeting. So I thought, what's he doing? Then the Lord said to me, that's the angel that's over this ministry, and he operates under the archangel Michael, who's over Jerusalem. See, they had a very strong connection to Jerusalem, so he's just watching over the meeting. The next morning I looked up, he was still there, but I suddenly saw him move over to the other side of the balcony. And this other angel came and stood there, and he was like this glory cloud. I saw the figure of man, but this like glory, glory, glory. So I thought, what's going on? And the next minute, Gwen Shaw announced Ruth Heflin's going to speak. Well, you know Ruth Heflin, she's the glory lady, right? So Ruth Heflin spoke, prayed for a few people, she left. When she left, that angel left. And the other one came back. Understand? So I learned something. Like when I come here and I minister, the angel over this church steps aside while I'm ministering, because the angel over my ministry takes over while I'm ministering. So there's like a order there, isn't there? There's like an order in the angelic realm. That's why, you know, you really shouldn't go places and just prophesy over everybody without asking, is it okay? Especially if they don't know you. You could be anybody. You know, you should ask, really. Just be polite, isn't it? And just said, I know you don't know me, but I felt like I have a word for somebody. Is it okay? That's not bondage. That's not being in bondage. That's having some manners. So the angels that I have in my ministry. One of them, he's the one with the honey. And I think most of you know, when he first came to my house, he came, sat on my bed, he leaned over and gave me a spoonful of honey. I tasted the honey. I smelled the honey. I always make sure I can smell the honey, because the honey is the spirit of revelation, the angel of revelation. When he came and gave me the honey, my mind, I thought, oh, there's a scripture about his honey, word is like honey. So I looked that up, but that wasn't it. So he was still standing there. I said, what's this with the honey? He said, have you never read about Jonathan? When Jonathan ate the honey, his eyes were enlightened. So I said, oh, well, I will go for that one. Actually, the next verse is very interesting. I looked it up, where Saul's army's going through the forest, you know, and Jonathan was hungry, so he stuck his stick in the honeycomb and he ate the honey. And the other soldier said, didn't you know Saul said we're not to eat today? He said, didn't you know that when I ate the honey, my eyes were enlightened? Then he said something really interesting. He said, if you all ate the honey, we would have had a greater victory. Yeah, the honey is for everyone. If you all ate the honey was there for everybody, but they were under this religious thing. They couldn't eat that day. So then, he just stayed with me all the time. God sends my ministry. Some angels just come and go, but some, he said, they never leave you. The angel never leaves me. He's always there. I can smell it now, honey. You smell it? I love it when I see the honey fall on the men. Because often men have that reason thing going on. Is that true? All the time. But when men get revelation, they usually do something with it. Women kind of go, woo! It's true, ladies. So when I smell the honey, and now I have another angel who has a glass of dark red wine. I see him just going around giving it to people. See what Nathan said this morning, totally true. You have to drink the wine in order to get in the spirit, really. Because something has to happen to your mind. You know, you're not going to think yourself into the spirit stuff. Doesn't come through the mind. Sometimes God gets rid of your mind, knocks it out the way. Then you can get over in the spirit realm. I like that, what he said this morning. I'm going to remember that. Have the wine first. You know, get drunk first and understand it later. Because probably if you don't get drunk, the chances are you're never going to understand it. I could tell you a story, but I better not, because I don't know who's here. There might be somebody religious. No, seriously? Huh? Serious? Shall I? I might get you in trouble. This is totally true, though, I promise you, and I don't go around telling this story. There's a lot of stories I have I can't tell from up here. This lady, this was just not what too long ago. So, are you sure you're open? So this lady said to me, I have to tell somebody what happened to me. She said, I can't tell anyone at church. She said, but I'm so blown away. I have to tell somebody. I said, okay, well, tell me. This is her story. She said, she's in this very abusive marriage. She said, it was terrible. This guy, her husband, was very abusive, very controlling. He's hitting her and everything. So she hung in, you know, because they kept telling her, well, your calling is to do whatever your husband said. And she's thinking, this can't be right, you know. So she said, she said to God, I'm going to wait till Sunday. If nothing's happened to him by Sunday, I'm out of here. That's it. I can't take it anymore. So she's, you know, giving God. So she's got to my Sunday. She's going to leave. She said, I had to leave. It's bad news. Saturday night, her husband didn't want anything about God. Hated God. That's why he hated her. You know, the husband's boss called them and invited them out to dinner. Well, he's the boss, so they're kind of obliged to go. They went out to dinner. She said her husband occasionally, you know, he'd have a glass of wine with a meal. But she said him and the boss just started drinking, like 2 or 3, 4 bottles of wine. And she's like, oh, my goodness. What is going on? This is not like him. But they both drank themselves silly. And she had no control over it. They had to get people in the restaurant to get both those guys in the car. When she got home, she had to get her neighbor to get her husband out of the car and just lay him down on the sofa. And when she just went to bed, she, you know, when she got up, guess what happened? He was totally saved. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? So it's totally true, Kathy. I can't tell anybody about it, though. Should he was saved, should he was, his mind was so zonked. She said, God just met him. And God, he was totally delivered. He was totally set free. He got off that sofa a completely, totally different person. See, you can't tell. I can't say that in many places. Obviously, I can't. People don't understand it because they've got these mindsets. You see, but God, you know what God can do? He doesn't see what we see. It's like, you know, last time I told you about the dog that led its owner to the Lord. I told you about the dog led its owner to the Lord. Spoke to him. The dog heard him talking to it. The dog led him to the Lord. He got saved. He got delivered from homosexuality. He got delivered from drugs. Baptized in the Spirit and praying in tongues. All through the dog. It's true. If you haven't heard that story, it's on my CDs, but it's totally true. I know him. I know the guy. I have a picture of his dog on my phone. I met his pastor. Because when he took it, he thought, I'm a Christian now. I think because I met Jesus. Because now he's talking to Jesus and the dog. But Sandy thought, well, I think you go to church because I'm a Christian. So he puts the dog in the car, drives down into East Detroit, find a church. I don't know what kind of church it was. So him and, what's the dog's name? Osgood, go into the church. These deacons came running out and said, you can't bring that dog into the sanctuary. He said, why not? He led me to the Lord. Well, they chased him out. And he obviously found another church, somebody's pastor. So I'm so open. I've had birds prophesy to me. I was with Margaret when a bird told her off. Is that true, Margaret? The spirit realm is so much bigger. Okay, so there's angels in your ministry. They minister with you. Every angel has the glass of wine. Sometimes I see him giving it to people. Have you noticed something when you're drunk in the spirit? Actually, it's God's anesthetic. That wine is God's anesthetic. Because have you noticed sometimes when you're drunk in the spirit rolling around the floor, you get up, you've got a few things missing. A couple of religious devils. A few sicknesses. How many have you been healed while you've been laughing? I have several times. Working for the anointing on that one. Don't resist the laughter. That's God's anesthetic. I have another angel with gold coins. See him do financial miracles for people. When you were all laughing this morning, and I saw that weight on the people in Wales because of the poverty that had come from closing down all the coal mines, and I had the coal in my hand, it was so heavy, and I passed the coal over to Margaret. This gold coin was in my hand. So you know what? You got them a victory. I'm going to email that church tonight because I know them. You got them a victory. They were there with the finances. See, because their finances was coming from the coal. But now there's not any coal. They closed the mine, so they have to find another source. Woo! And you know what? God gave them one today. Isn't that awesome? We're just here having a little meeting. It's fun. It's great, you know. But God took care of some stuff in Wales. I saw it. So the angel with the gold coins. The angel with the wine and the honey angel. There's another angel that he says to me, he doesn't minister to people, though he ministers to me. Usually during the worship, he sits on the floor next to me and he leans on me. Sometimes he draws pictures on the floor. Tells me what to preach. Sometimes he just gives me a scripture. Sometimes he tells me about people behind me. He's sometimes very funny. He's never rude or anything like that. But this angel always likes to be included. You know, angels have their little ways too. You always got to be included. If you're ever sitting around a table or something, he wants to get in. When I was at this luncheon in North Carolina, very posh it was, little bone china, little hats. I think they invited me because I was English, that's the only reason. So we're sitting at this, and my angel got in my chair, I can feel him. So I'm like, so I'm sitting on this lady's chair next to me. She's looking at me like, I said, I'm sorry, it's my angel. She goes, well, about 10 minutes later, the lady opposite me, I noticed her going. A part of your ministry, you just have to know who they are. They'll tell you, you know, I could stand here all day and tell you angel stories, but you know what? Get your own angel stories. Because the angels minister to you all the time. I'm getting drunk now. I'm going to tell you one more story, though, because it's a bit out there, though. It's a bit out there, but it's true. All the things I tell you are true, even though some of them are a bit outrageous. I promise they're all true. When I was in... sometimes we so limit things because we cut it off as soon as we don't understand it. You know what I mean? Should we do this? We're going to break those boxes. Remind me to do that. But I was in Aruba a number of years ago. I had a conference there with a friend. She has a great church there. We had a great conference. And Saturday night, we went out for dinner. And she says to me, tomorrow, Sunday, you're going to speak 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I said, no, 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 no. No, we're not doing that. You know, I'm not 25 anymore. She said, well, pick one. Not being dumb, I picked the 2 o'clock. So I can get to stay in bed a little bit, and you know. So, no, the situation was, they put me in the Marriott, very nice suite, the Marriott. But the manager came knocking on my door. He said, we're going to move you to the best suite at the top of the hotel. There's 4 rooms on the beach. I said, well, this suite's fine. He said, no, we're going to put you up there. So I said, okay, well, is there a reason? He said, I don't know. He said, some guys, they've got all my stuff, move me to the suite at the top of the Marriott, you see. Beautiful suite. So Saturday night, we've made this arrangement now. She's going to text me at 1:30 to let me know she's there so I can come down, right? The situation is like a little living room place, little living area. And then there's a little kitchen with a basket of fruit they bought me. Another little kind of living area place. Then there's a doorway and a bedroom and a bathroom, but it's all on the ocean, like this. So I was standing, waiting for her to pick me up and say, no, you're the basket of fruit, right? You're the basket of fruit on the thing. And I was standing at least this much away in the doorway, you know, with my phone waiting for her to text me. So as I'm standing there, these 4 grapes came flying across the room and hit me on the head. Seriously, I'm like, but they were real grapes because they were at my feet, you see. And I thought, what the heck is going on, you see. But I didn't have time to think about it because she texted me and said, I'm here, I'm downstairs. So I thought, I said, I would have thrown them back. Anyway, you know, I went down, got in the car, never said anything. Because I thought, you know, I can't just say, well, you know, there's an angel up there throwing grapes. I can't say that. That sounds stupid. So we get to the church and this is packed. She introduced me. One went in. I thought this a bit different atmosphere from the conference. Anyway, she introduced me. I get up here and I looked at these people. And they were looking at me like this. And I thought, oh my gosh. Then I looked at them again. I thought, these people hate me. They've never even met me. I found out afterwards they hate everybody, they only like their pastor. She told me afterwards, this was where all the religious people came to this church, this service. But she never told me that. She forgot to tell me that. And they especially didn't like women in the ministry. So they're like this. You know, you can tell when people don't want to be there, can't you, Nathan? Because they sit as far back in their seat as they can and as low down as they can. Some of these people, and I tried to look at her like, I'm going to kill you later. Got it. But she wouldn't look at me. She's like, so I thought, what am I going to do with these people? Because they already hate me. And I never said anything. I had a thought. I'll tell them about the angel with the grapes. So I started to. Then I realized that's a mistake. Because they changed from horrified to traumatized in about 5 minutes. They were frozen with trauma. And I thought, this is a mistake. But sometimes you can backtrack, can't you, Nathan? I mean, you can kind of make it mean something else. But if you're talking about angels throwing grapes at you, there's nowhere much to go, you know. You said what you said. So I tried to... I thought I'd just have to press on now about angels and stuff. So I pressed on. And these people got more and more traumatized. Then suddenly, in the very back row, I saw this lady and she goes... And I thought, what's she doing? And she looks at her husband like... And he looked at her like... And he suddenly goes... And he's looking at her and she's looking at him. You know, and I'm like, what are they doing? You know, I'm trying to... They're like, what are they doing? Then this guy next to him goes... And he's looking at them, you know. And they're looking at each other and I thought, what is going on? And suddenly his wife goes, and they're all glaring at each other, you know, like, and then I realise, it's that angel with the grapes, you see, and I'm like, you know, often God does what you're talking about, doesn't he? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't tell them. It went all along the row and they were getting mad at each other. Then it came down the second row. Suddenly, the anointing hits this lady. She gets hit by a grape, and she's going like that. Then she starts laughing hysterically and falls off her chair. Well, then these people are doubly traumatized. Trebly traumatized, because this is one of their own. It's on the floor. And I thought, oh, my God. And she can't see really what's going on, you know. She said to me after, she's like, what? Your face was so strange. Because it was strange. Anyway, suddenly this anointing hit the back and they started screaming with laughter. And it kind of rolled down the church. And she said, that whole thing broke. She said, that became our liveliest church. Because the angel with the grapes totally caught them off guard. They weren't expecting that. So, I talk to the angels all the time. They sing to me all the time. See, that is true. That is true. Because your spirit man lives. That's where your spirit man lives. So, I prophesy all the time. I see visions all the time. I go in the chariots all the time. That's where I live. So you have to believe where you live, don't you? Everything you receive is by faith and just keeping your antenna up, that's all. That's all so easy. That's the problem sometimes, it's so easy. Some people, you know, people told me, Kathy, it'd be easy if you gave me a list of 10 things to do. It's true. Yeah, what's the catch? Can't be that easy. Can't be that good. So what about this? Supposing we release some cows, because some of you didn't get a cow before. Some of you did. I know one thing. Like Nathan said, you see, there's a call on New Zealand for the nations, right? So guess what that means? You have to prosper. Sorry. You have to say, I have things to do and places to go. So I have to prosper. See, some people, they have their poverty. I don't know what to do with this. They have their little poverty spirit. They keep it like a pet because it's their security. It's their comfort zone. It's your $20 comfort zone. It's true, it's a mindset. And often you up pops your $10, your $20, your $50, whatever it is. But guess what? You have to get out of your comfort zone. You see, because God, your prosperity is measured by what you give, not what you get. So you have to raise your faith level. Forgiving, not getting. It all just comes back to you. But you see, people get a comfort zone in their giving and receiving. It's got to be broken. And people got their little mindsets, got a little poverty spirit, you see, which they're comfortable, it's like Rover, take Rover to church. Come on, Rover. Going to church today. There's someone sitting in our seat. Bite them. But I tell people you have to shoot Rover, because Rover's got fleas. So I used to say, you have to take Rover to the pound. And somebody said, but some nice Christian will go and get him out again. So you have to shoot Rover. You have to prosper. Because you have to be the... Things have to flow through you. They can't get to you and stop, can they? They've got to keep going, flowing through the body. God doesn't care what you have, as long as you can give it away the same day. God doesn't care what you have as long as it doesn't have you. God doesn't care if you have one car or 10 cars. It doesn't make any difference to him. There's no limitation in the spirit as long as it doesn't have you. You know, if God can, if God can give you $500,000 today and you can pass it on tonight, you can have what you like. That's all he's looking for. So the cows... God's been dropping cows on people. I prayed for cows before when I was here, but some of you weren't here. But cows represent a continual means of provision. Somebody lassoed my cows in your post office. My CDs and books, they're my cows. Somebody lassoed my cows and carted them off somewhere. I have to get them released. Send the sheep after them. Anyway... But, you know, when the children of Israel were going into the promised land, it said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But there weren't rivers of milk, were there? I mean, they didn't get a bucket and bring home a bucket of milk. There was a little work involved there to milk the cow. God's been dropping cows on people, little businesses. You don't have to qualify. You don't have to work it out with your mind. You just have to keep your antenna up. There's a little boy in Atlanta right now. He's 11 years old and he's earning $3,000 a week. He just took his whole Sunday school class on a mission trip, paid for everything. He got a cow in my meeting. When he came into the meeting, he said to his mum, what are all those cow legs hanging in the ceiling? His mum said, I don't know. But when I prayed, he got a cow. And God taught him supernaturally how to trade stamps on the internet. He didn't know anything about stamps. All you have to do is this. We decompartmentalize things. This is spiritual, that's not spiritual, this is spiritual. Everything you do is spiritual. If you're spiritual, everything you do is spiritual. Is that right? Whether you're at Disney, whether you're at church, whether you're in the supermarket, whether you're in a restaurant, it's all spiritual because you're spiritual. You don't have these boxes. Oh, boxes. Got to break the boxes. Don't let me forget that. We need to do that in a minute. Because every mindset you have, it's got to be broken. You know, we all have these little things. We all have little things in our minds that God wants to get rid of. Every religious mindset you have is a weight that keeps you out of the anointing, keeps you out of flying, every little mindset. So, who wants a cow? You don't have to qualify to have a cow. A lady I prayed for in North Dakota, she'd been saved 2 weeks, she had nothing. Pastor told me. But when she heard, she just believed everything I said. Because no one ever told her any different. So when I said about the cow, she said, I need a cow. The pastor told me she lived in this old trailer. Had nothing, no car, nothing. But when I prayed, she got a cow. And God gave her an idea, and she had borrowed $100 from the pastor. She started this little business supplying things to ministries. She made John Scotland some buttons that say, what can you do? When I went back there a year later, this lady had 3 businesses. I drove a Mercedes, lived in a very nice gated community. And she was barely literate, by the way. She's one of those mountain people. They live in the mountains. She's barely literate. She hardly had an MBA. But she did know how to do this. We'll do the boxes and the cows. Let's pray for the cows first. I think in your box, you have to be outside New Zealand to minister to New Zealand. I just got that. Just throwing it out there. In the spirit realm, you have to be outside of New Zealand. In other words, the spirit realm is not just New Zealand. The kingdom of God includes New Zealand. What's happening in New Zealand? But it's the whole vision, isn't it? Called the body of Christ or the kingdom of God. The heavenly kings. You've got to be in that to really be able to minister to New Zealand because you have to see what he sees. You know what? A lot of you guys, your ministry might not be in New Zealand. God might send you out to somewhere, India, England, whatever, and he might have a whole bunch of people that he wants to send in here to New Zealand. Yeah. Because he's mixing people up like a big old stew. So I'm available. So I'm so qualified. I'm so available. Who wants a cow? All right. I'll pray. You get a cow, but don't start thinking of things. Keep your antenna up. So you've got to do this. You want a cow? Cows are big. Look, can't get a cow like that. That's a hamster. Gonna milk a hamster now. So this guy like this, he said, what's a mouse? You gonna milk a mouse? Hold your arms really loose. Really loose. When I pray, you'll begin to feel a weight. All right, when you do, give it a hug. You've got to love your cow. It's not going to work for you. You don't love. You've got to love your cow. You've got to say, I love you, cow. Ready? What are you doing?
What's this?
Found the cow. Yeah, before you got it. In the name of Jesus, now I'm praying, you're getting the cow. I pray you get the cow, okay? Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for all those cows you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for you want us to prosper and be able to do what you tell us to do, go where you tell us to go. So I release cows today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whoa. Well, I think I got another cow. Whoa. I think I got another. Well, my arms are all burning. Got it? As soon as you feel a weight, just give it a hug in faith. Ooh. Love you, cow. So another one in here. Okay. You got a cow? I love you, cow. What? You just start, just hold your arms really loose. Start to see it in faith. This guy came to a Sunday morning meeting. In the middle of the meeting, I was speaking, in the middle I was preaching, I said, what is it? He said, my cow ran away in the night. So we had to stop the whole meeting and get his cow back. Thank Thank you, Lord. Got a cow? Super. All right. See, don't start thinking about things. God can just drop anything. You know, he can suddenly show you something, suddenly. All I do know is that you've got things to do and places to go. You have to prosper. Anyway, so what we do is we'll, you know, we jumped through change before. We could do it again. Because there's always other changes, aren't there? I mean, you have to change, and there's another, there's a whole change coming through that revival that was released. So we could do that again and break the boxes. And at that other church, I did this, they set light to the boxes, but I don't suggest doing that in here. You have to do that. So now, but also, though, I do want to give you an opportunity, though, to have a drink first. Have a good drink so you're nice and drunk. And I want to give you an opportunity to invest in our ministry. Me and Damon. Say, oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Let me. Oh, smell that. Oh, that's so strong, honey. But you know what? But let me release good news over your finances. So hold up something that represents your finances, your checkbook, your wallet, something. Because good news is your inheritance. And you know what? When you go home, you should release good news. Listen, over wherever there's an entrance to your house, the doorways, the computer, the telephone, I'm serious, the computer, the TV, wherever there's an entrance, release the spirit of good news. I just release good news over people's finances. In Jesus' name, that's our inheritance, is good news. I release good news over the mailbox, the telephone, the computer, whenever there's an entrance. I release good news over your checking account, your savings accounts, your stocks, shares, mortgage, job, promotions, inheritances. Oh, I just call that inheritance back that got diverted. Come back. Jesus, have I forgotten anything? Have I forgotten anything? Jobs, promotions, businesses, mortgages, credit cards. God's just been clearing off people's credit cards. You know, he gives people another chance. Some people messed up, so what? You're not going to die. If you, what's that?
Kitchen sink.
We want everything.
Everything.
Yeah, why not? Okay, so... I know she's giving it to me or getting something. Okay. All right. Okay. How many of you, because of maybe your background, family, upbringing or something, you have a problem with prosperity? I mean your mind. Something still tells you that's not spiritual, or maybe it's a thing where you got stuck where, because your background is you just made it from week to week, and that's kind of how you see, that's how you see yourself, right? That's part of that thing that I was talking about, has to be broken. You see, God doesn't want you to live like that. God wants you to live that you do have an abundance, not so you can go out and buy the latest jet ski boat or whatever, but so that you're available and so that you things can flow through you. See, if you don't have that, then you're going to be, what's the word? Limiting a lot of things. Some, a couple of people asked me about this ring last night, Michael Negrin in Israel. I went into this store, I was roaming around Israel, just following my friend, really. I wasn't doing anything, she was ministering, I was just... I saw this store. This is true. I said, I've got to go in that store. I love that jewellery. Michael Negrin. Went in the store. It's nice jewellery. I mean, it's not ever so expensive, but it's not cheap either. Nice couple in their Barbie dolls. They were Jewish Barbie dolls. And I said, oh, I love that bracelet. As soon as they heard my accent, they walked in the other direction. You know why? Because English people have a reputation for just looking. They were not interested. I said to my friend Janine, I said, I think I'll get a bracelet. The Lord said to me, buy four. I said, they're not cheap, you know. It's true. It's what I thought, they're not cheap. He said, get four and buy something for Janine. And I'm like, so I said, okay. So I said to Janine, well, choose anything. You can have something. What do you want? So she said, I love that necklace. I said, okay. Well, I think I'm going to get that and that and that and that, and you can get that necklace. Well, they heard me. So guess what? They came back. And suddenly were interested in me. So I said, I think I can get those bracelets. They got them out. I said, yeah, I like them. I'm going to get those four. I said, and she wants to try on that necklace, Janine. So she said, I love it. I said, okay, we're going to get this. So Janine said, praise the Lord. So they said, oh, are you those born again people? We said, yes. They said, oh, They said, this missionary came in here a few months ago from Sweden, and she told us about the Messiah. And they said, and she emailed us every week to tell us more about the Messiah. She said, and she emailed us this morning and told us someone coming in here today that would tell us more about what we need to know about the Messiah. They said, it must be you. So we said, must be us. So we paid for the money. She actually led them to the Lord. Janine led them both to the Lord. They were ripe as anything. Do you know what they said? The only reason we didn't really receive the Messiah is because we thought if we gave our heart to God, he would take away our business and make us poor. They'd picked that up from the missionaries and the Christians. You see, so when I bought four bracelets, I didn't need four bracelets. I went home and gave them away. But you see, that broke that. God cares about, he loved them. He didn't break that old thing. Now they have five jewelry stores in Israel. Very prosperous, you see, but their whole mindset just totally, because they had this desire for success. Okay. Anyway, so let's do our... I would do the change, but also I'll give you opportunity to invest in our ministry. You know, I'll take Nathan out to dinner. Will you take me out to dinner? Yes. I don't know why I keep getting this song. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the dressing and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. David, come on, you can sing. I've got it really strong. I don't know who it's for. Ming of a while. Christmas, like the ones I used to know.
Help me with the words.
Drops glisten and sleigh bells glisten. Hear those sleigh bells in the snow.
Next words.
But I think it has something to do with Christmas. It's like... Christmas. Christmas. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like a period of receiving, I believe. You know, God loves his kids. He spoils his kids. He loves to give you things. He loves it. So that's why people love to give things to each other, especially women. Women's all buying stuff for each other all the time, aren't they? It's just something of Father's heart. So I just believe it's a Christmas season. Yeah. It's a receiving time. It's not time for striving, trying, working at it. Chill. Have fun. Go to Disney. And just receive. Anyway, so if you want to participate in our, what did I say? Investment. I love that word. Because we're all investing, aren't we? So if you want to invest in our ministry, this is a good opportunity. You should always invest in the spirit things. Don't invest in religious stuff. There's different offerings, you know, like Nathan talked about. There's different offerings in the Bible. There's given to the poor, which you should all do that. There's offerings to this and that. But when it comes to the ministry, it's an investment. When it comes to each other, it's an investment. You know, you invest in different people's anointing, don't you? If somebody prays for you, they're investing in you. If somebody prophesies over you, they're investing in you. They're investing in the kingdom. So you say, Lord, my investing is going to increase. I'm going to prophesy more. I'm going to get in the visions more. Get in the visitations more. I'm going to get drunk more. I'm going to prosper more. Okay. So let's do this. You ready? If you want to make out a check, make it out to... What? Fire and Destiny. Center. If you want to use a card, you can do that too, out there at the book table or something. Or if you really want to get in faith, just give me the card. I do it myself. I'm not shy. Yes, it's different. This is not the change thing. This is where you get to really invest. You know, you have to, look, you have to invest in what you want. Don't you? I do. You know what? I invested for years in Bob Jones' ministry. Because I wanted that anointing, because I already kind of had it. Guess what? He became my dad. But I was determined I'm going to get something from that, and I'm investing and writing to him and bugging him to death. So he finally adopted me. So when you see something, sometimes God lets people and things go pass in front of you so that you can get it and say, "Mine, I want that." Is that right? Look, the lady that was sick, remember, she saw the source of her healing, didn't she? She saw Jesus, but there was a crowd. She didn't say, "Oh, well, Jesus knows where I live if he wants to heal me. Jesus knows where I am if he wants to fill me with the Holy Spirit." Should get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Mine! Sorry. Didn't she? She didn't say, "Oh, excuse me." I mean, she pushed. Said she pushed. That's rude. Sometimes you have to push. Get out of the way. Mine! Okay, let's do this. Then we'll do the change and jump on the boxes. Pray over it as it passes. Pray over it. Pray abundance and blessings and 100% and cows and... Then we need... It looks like we need some strong men to break these boxes. Get it, babe. Okay, help me. Give me a hand. Hold her hand. The other. Thank you, Lord. We just received this cow by faith in Jesus' name. Give her Daisy, the cow.
I told her in the share I received it by faith. I want the thing now.
Well, you got it. You still get it by faith. But as you believe, you'll start to feel it in your arms. See, it's coming.
It's coming.
Now, Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. I saw a cow, it's called Daisy. Okay. Now, lock the door, Nathan, so we can make sure there's enough money in there. That's what they do where I live in Macon, Georgia, in the black churches. They lock the door. And they count the offering. And if it's not enough, they send it around. I'm not kidding you. They send it around again. It's true. So now, what you need to do now is get your change. Loose change. You could put that too. If you can remember which is your change, you can get it back. If not, go on our kids' mission or something. So you've got to get your loose change. I'm going to put it up here. Then we're going to get to dance through change. And then we'll just pray for impartation after that. I'm looking for my box with my swing low in. I'll leave them there because... Who's strong enough to break these boxes? But you're doing this by faith for everybody, right? Because, say, that's goodbye to your mindsets. So you can't start getting upset with people just because you don't understand something. All right? You can listen to the witness in the spirit. No, they've got to jump on them, Russ. No, I want you people to jump on them. Okay. That's the idea.
Oh, right.
I'm waiting for my CD.
Wait, shall we wait?
Did you get it? Yeah, okay. Keep it on number one. Okay, you can come up, jump on the boxes. Oh, where's the change?